Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
And good evening and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I am your host, Joaquin Watai. Very special edition of the Service Dog Show tonight. We are live to discuss some active news stories that have been in the media recently. With me, I have DV Boner Wood from DV Radio and DV 6 of Dysfunctional Veterans. Gentlemen,
yo. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Joaquin?
First of all, thank you very much for joining me. And Bo, we're starting a new thing with the shows on DV Radio. There are more than one show. There's more than two shows. Bo, can you tell us a little bit about who we can hear when we tune in to DV Radio?
Yeah, we've got a few actually syndicated shows right here on dvradio.net, and a couple of them is The Struggle Brothers and Up in Arms. We've got Disgruntled Vets and Barracks Talk, and of course your show, The Service Dog Show. The best way for them to find out when those are airing is to go to dvradio.net and click on that schedule banner, and it has an actual schedule, and down at the bottom is a calendar laid out all the way across the week of the shows and the times they air. And yeah, that's here on dvradio.net, and hopefully we'll be getting some more quite soon.
Excellent. Thank you, Bo. All right, I brought you all here this evening to have a discussion about a story that was in the news recently, and upon a little further investigation, one of my fans found a second story related. So I'm going to get right to it and just read the story real quick. Veteran cited to federal court after dispute over service dog at VA hospital. Cincinnati, Ohio, Brandon Rimmer left the Air Force with PTSD after two combat tours as a canine handler working in explosive detection. He got a dog for emotional support, but ran into a legislative maze when he took the animal with him to the Cincinnati VA Medical Center. Now Rimmer has been cited to federal court for having the service animal with him, and his appearance could set off a review of how a service animal is defined. He's hoping that he can get the rules changed. I'm going to stop right there, because the rest of the article talks about the bond and it talks about healing and stuff. But what the article doesn't talk about, and what I've discovered through some more discussion and research, is a couple of things surrounding the issue and the situation. But I want to start off by saying that the Americans with Disabilities Act very clearly defines what a service dog is. And that is this. A service dog is a dog, or in some cases a miniature horse, that has been trained specifically to perform tasks that assist its disabled handler with their disability. The dog has to meet a couple of requirements. First of all, the dog has to have trained tasks. Second of all, the dog has to be completely housebroken. Third, the dog has to be under the handler's control at all times, or if the handler is unable to control the dog for whatever reason, there has to be an alternate handler provided. These are all spelled out very, very well and clearly and understandably on the ADA website. This puppy doesn't fulfill any of those requirements. It even says in the headline, or in the says in the first paragraph, he got a dog for emotional support. Well, the ADA also very specifically says that emotional support is not a task. In fact, I'm going to read that little piece from the ADA's Q&A, or question and answer, on the ADA.gov page. So this is right from the government source. The question number 3 on their Q&A about service animals is, are emotional support, therapy, comfort, or companion animals considered service animals under the ADA? Now, this is the government's answer explaining their law. The answer is no. These terms are used to describe animals that support, that provide comfort just by being with a person. Because they have not been trained to perform a specific job or task, they do not qualify as service animals under the ADA. However, some state or local governments have laws that allow people to take emotional support animals into public places. You may check with your state and local government agencies to find out about these laws. So, first of all, what's your initial take on this exciting story there, DV6?
You're going to have to excuse me for a minute. I had an emergency just come up right now on the farm. I might be right back, but...
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No,
it's clear okay. up whatever's going on. They're on their way over.
Thanks. The fun of live radio. All right, Bo, what's your take on this?
You know my feelings personally about all of this, but I think this guy has just gone above and beyond trying trying to bend the system to his will, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken advantage of it. I mean, honestly, he has literally taken advantage of it with this and the other thing that you're going to mention, I'm sure, later on that he's done previously. He's completely taken beyond words. I mean, it's disgusting, despicable, you name it.
Yeah. I think it's, like you were just alluding to, he's done something like this before. We're not going to talk about that yet because we want to focus right now, first of all, on just how he's messing with the VA system. So one thing that I wanted to make sure people understood, the listeners understand, is the Veterans Affairs Department or any other government agency does not fall under the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's one of those cases of, you know, Congress making a law that they don't have to follow themselves. Well, the ADA is just like that. They fall under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. In 1973, the only service dogs, to the best of my knowledge, really the only service dogs were seeing eye dogs. It was still a new field, and there was not any understanding about a lot of the other things that service dogs could do. So the fact that we're able to take a PTSD service dog into the VA is huge. That's a big deal. And it's taken a lot of fighting on the part of those who've come before, people like me, on my part, and, you know, my contemporaries, people right now who handle service dogs and who use the VA. We've gone through a lot trying to deal with the VA's, I'm going to call it corporate mistrust of PTSD service dogs. The yep. VA's official policy on their website, on the National Center for PTSD, which is a VA website, is that they have no empirical proof that PTSD service dogs help, which every single PTSD service dog handler I know can say is absolute baloney. They help. They save our lives on a daily basis. We're able to regain independence. We're able to go back out into public. People are getting jobs with their service dogs at their size. That service dog absolutely does help. It makes a change in your life. We could get down into the weeds arguing that, you know, psychiatry and psychology are really sciences that are based on theories. Why isn't this theory being accepted by the VA? But, you know, that's kind of a pointless argument. It is what it is. The VA is what the VA is. So it's a big deal that we can take a service dog there. Which goes back to what qualifies as a service dog. And I don't care who you are, what kind of a magical dog trainer you are, you cannot convince me that a four-month-old puppy is a trained service dog. And the law is very clear. The dog has to be trained to perform specific tasks to assist with the disability.
Just so you know, Joaquin, DV6 is back now.
All right, Mike. So I usually don't call people out on the show, but this guy went to the media and threw his name out there, this Brandon Rimmer guy. And I'm not going to call into question his service. He's apparently an Air Force vet. He was an EOD tech. That's fantastic. I don't doubt that he suffers from PTSD. What I do have a problem with is that he's trying to, as Bo put it, Mike, he's trying to bend the system to his will.
Yeah, I agree. Stand by.
Yep.
I'm plugging back in.
Okay, well, we can hear
there you. We go, okay.
There we go. There we are. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of the story, too, and it does. You know, when we go out there as vets, and I've been accused of it, too, because of the damn DB shirts. Roar, roar, roar. The shirt's not an excuse to act like an asshole. But as a veteran and as a service dog handler,
mm-hmm.
owner.
Handler, yeah.
You know, you have responsibilities, too, to uphold the, you know, don't make us look like idiots. And that's where we're at right now. Yeah, I have a problem with it, too. On the face of it, it's out and out just BS. I mean, anybody, no puppy is a service dog. You don't have to have half a brain cell to know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it really, excuse me, I think it really boils down to personal responsibility. Are you willing to take responsibility for yourself? Because as a handler, you're responsible and liable for the actions of your dog.
I wouldn't even call this guy a handler. I'd call him a mishandler.
I kind of agree. That's a pretty good point.
Well, I mean, really quick, you've seen the five-month-old puppy that we've got here, Blue. There is mm-hmm. no way you could put him in public at all. It's impossible. And 99% of your puppies are just like him.
Well, you know, not only that, but at 4 months old, a dog is not fully immunized. The only registration of a service dog that the ADA requires is that if the city or county or state you live in requires a dog to be registered, then you are required to register your service dog, too. Not as a service dog, but just regular, you know, you take in the paperwork to prove that the dog has had its shots, and they give you a registration tag.
Most towns like yeah. to protect the population. But, you know, I fault the VA for even allowing this to get as far as it did. I blame the news station that gave this guy the airtime,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, there are lots of people out there who don't even know the law and or don't like it and don't want dogs in their restaurant, regardless of the ADA law. And this is just giving them more ammo. And then there's the ones that just say, you know, vets are wacko and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He just gave lots of ammo to all those people.
Well, not only that, but just as a dog owner, you know, your puppy does not get its rabies shot until it's 6 months old.
Right.
So it cannot be registered by anybody until it's 6 months old and has its rabies shot. No town will or county or whatever will register it.
Now, he has a GoFundMe. What's he raising money for, JJ?
He's trying to raise money for legal defense of his case in court. Let's just talk about the situation for a
minute. Hear ye, court is now in session. The Honorable JJ, JJ residing. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So
the Law and Order music.
Ba-bum. I did a little investigation, talked to some people who are close to the reporter, and here's the situation. Mr. Rimmer went to the VA to undergo some minor procedure, but he had to be sedated. Apparently, he talked a nurse or somebody into watching the puppy while he underwent sedation. The puppy evacuated its bowels and urinated on the floor, both of which disqualify it as a service dog under the ADA, which, of course, we all know if you've ever raised puppies, it's very rare that you have a four-month-old puppy that's housebroken. It's just, it can happen. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but it's very unlikely. So, first of all, the puppy already doesn't meet one of the requirements of the ADA. It's not housebroken. It can't be defined as a service dog if it's not housebroken. So they took him out of sedation to take his dog out because it was crapping on the floor. And I don't care what medical facility you're in, if your dog's evacuating on the floor, that's unsanitary. That's not cool. You can't have that. And this guy, instead of saying, yeah, you're right, my dog shouldn't be doing that, decided to fight with him and argue and say, no, it's my service dog. You can't kick me out. Well, again, service dogs, or the VA does not fall under the Americans with Disabilities Act. It falls under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. So they don't even have to let a service dog in to begin with. It has been a huge uphill battle for service dog handlers, veterans who handle service dogs, to be able to take our service dogs to the VA with us. It has been, I've even had to battle it. It's been incredibly difficult. It's
so the VA doesn't have to follow the ADA if it chooses not to?
They certainly do not. It is up to there. Now, there is a national policy from the VA that they published in the National Register in 2015 that says that the VA will follow the applicable federal laws, meaning the ADA. However, it did not rescind the power of each individual clinic, hospital, or region's director to make their own rules. So really, it was a toothless ruling because they said, well, we'll follow the ADA, but if you want to make a different rule, it's up to you, is basically what their policy is. So
again, this guy, I fault both him for being a retard, sorry, and the VA that he went to for even taking him into surgery or while he's under. I mean, they could have seen that coming a mile away. These guys go to years and years and years of school, you know, be doctors. I would think they're smart and could see the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And then you know what? What really gets my goat is instead of taking his lumps and saying, you know, you're right, this isn't what the law says.
He gets on TV.
He goes to the media. And what does that make? I mean, look, there is already so much confusion, misconception.
Thank you.
Misinformation about the ADA. I mean, people think, well, if it doesn't have a vest on, it's not a service dog. Not true. It's not required to wear a vest by the law. Well, if it's not certified or registered, it's not a service dog.
Where's his paperwork? Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Not true. Yeah, there's no registration or certification required. The proof is in the pudding with a service dog. You look at the dog's behavior. If the dog is focused, calm, paying attention to its handler, not pissing and shitting on the floor, excuse my French, not barking at everything that moves, you know. It's right. Probably a service dog. And it's really that simple. Is the dog behaving? Now, you can ask, if you're a business, say, you can ask two questions. And this is defined. They actually wrote the questions. This is what you can legally ask a handler when they come into a facility like, say, Walmart with a dog. And those two questions are, is that a service dog required for a disability? And if the answer is yes, they can then ask, what task is it trained to perform? That's all you can ask. You can't ask for registration. You can't ask for proof. You can't ask, well, what's your disability, why you need it. Those are not permitted by law. So any service dog handler who knows what they're doing, who knows how to handle their dog, who understands the law, has those answers ready. Myself, for example. Yes, this is my service dog. Well, what tasks is he trained to perform? Well, he does mobility tasks for me. He creates a physical buffer around me, which I call blocking, that prevents people from getting too close to me so I don't, you know, elbow them in the throat. He calms me down when things are too stressful so that I can do things like go to a racetrack for a day, you know, things like that. In all of those, I can say he does this without defining my disability. Me being who I am and, you know, the fact that my whole mission is education and support of veterans who use PTSD service dogs, I'll say he's my PTSD service dog, you know, and that usually draws into a conversation that allows me to share some knowledge. That's me. You're not required to define your disability. But this guy, and you know, let's look at the media. Let's stop giving this guy a voice and let's look at the media. Let's talk about the quote unquote facts, which aren't really true, that this reporter reported. So it says right in the second paragraph, I think, of the story, second paragraph, first sentence, he got a dog for emotional support. Right there in the definition of a service dog from the ADA, when they describe emotional support animals, they say, this is not a service dog. It says emotional, you know, a dog that provides emotional support is not a service dog. Its mere presence is not enough. It has to perform individually trained tasks in order to assist the disabled handler with their disability. Emotional support is not a specific task. Everybody knows your dog makes you feel better. I don't think anybody would argue that. And I have no issue with him needing an emotional support animal or a service dog. My issue is this dog doesn't fulfill the requirements of the law of what a service dog is. Okay. So first of all, right in the second paragraph of the news story, the media is already getting it wrong because they're saying, you know, this they want to change what the definition of a service animal is, but they don't say what a service animal is. He's calling it a service dog. He's saying my PTSD service dog is not recognized by the VA. Well, because it doesn't meet the definition of a service dog under the law. And it's really frustrating because the whole article, the whole news story is already based on misconception. It's literally based on the reporter's really poor understanding of what a service dog is by law and this kid taking advantage of it.
Well, I'm catching up on it, and it says they cited him, and he's going to go to federal court. Oh,
that's what he's got this GoFundMe for. He's trying to get money to help him fight this federal citation.
I've been on his page, and all the posts are, he still hasn't locked it down, they're all telling him, you know, too guilty, and they're showing, you know, there's no way you've had a puppy for 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. But anyhow, be nice, and maybe we'll try to get him on the air, and you know, if you're listening to this, Brandon, you know, we more than welcome you to come in and tell us your side. Maybe we got this wrong, you know? I doubt it, but, you know.
I'm sorry, you and I both know. I mean, you've had puppies, you've raised puppies, you've got two puppies at the house. No. You and I both know a four-month-old puppy is not a trained service dog. There's no way. It's just not possible.
This is the media's fault, not for doing the story, but because every time you hear something on the news, you could say, hey, the sky is blue, and they're like, it's black! I mean, and then it's, and you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this brings me, you brought up, you know, we're talking about the media, and this brings me back to Mr. Grimmer. This is not the first time he's pulled something like this.
What else has he done there, Jason?
Well, in October 4th of 2016, a story on News Channel 7, WJHD.com, in Panama City, Florida. Well, that's not the right story. Oh, no, that's the right story.
It's a story of him and his pig.
Yeah, a nudist with her nails painted, weighing 50 pounds with some junk in her trunk, checked into the Suburban Extended Stay Hotel in Panama City this week. The pig's name is Hamela Anderson, said Brandon Rimmer, a veteran. I know. She's not your typical hotel guest. I've never had a pig stay at a hotel, said Sagar Rana, the general manager of Suburban Extended Stay Hotel. Never. This is the first time. Hamela is there for a reason. Rimmer is an Air Force veteran who served from 2004 until 2012. He served two tours overseas at Kuwait and Iraq and was also stationed at Tyndall Air Force Base a few years ago. Okay, this is what gets me a little in the middle of the article. Hamela is a registered ESA, emotional support animal.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, those registries are false. Those registries are not required by law. In fact, the ADA, going back again to the law.
An emotional support animal is not covered by the ADA.
Exactly. The ADA says that. We already covered that. But here's the law. Again, going back to the ADA's question and answers about service animals. The question number 17, does the ADA require that service animals be certified as service animals? The answer is no. Cover entities may not require documentation such as proof that the animal has been certified, trained, or licensed as a service animal as a condition for entry. And then in a box highlighted in blue, there are individuals and organizations that sell service animal certification or registration documents online. These documents do not. Yeah. Here it is. From the law, these documents do not convey any rights under the ADA, and the Department of Justice does not recognize them as proof that the dog is a service animal. Blue and white. Blue and black. It's written right there on the government website.
JJ, and here's what he says he's hoping to do. He got the dog for emotional support, the puppy, but he ran into the legislative maze. He says he's hoping he can get the rules changed. So he's aware of the rules, and it, you know, but it's also, you know, can make it harder for people with legit service dogs, because what he did has set off a review of how service animals are defined. Mm-hmm. And I think it's defined really well right now.
I think that's a good point. The ADA is very well written. And in fact, a friend of mine, Bart Sherwood, who was on the show last week, says the ADA is the perfect law. The service dog section of the ADA is the perfect law. It tells you, the service dog handler, exactly what what's required of you and required of your animal.
Wait. Okay, I did a little bit more. Here's the gist. He's out and out lying. He's claiming it's not. He's telling the authorities and the VA police officer at the VA that it is a trained dog. It's not a puppy. And the cop, the VA police officer, still issued a citation saying he believes the dog. He says he believes the dog is a puppy. It's not a service animal trained to perform tasks for people who are disabled. He said that. And he cited the guy. He said the cop also said emotional support is not a task, citing VA federal VA regulations. Mm-hmm. So, he said he welcomes a review of the thing. Mm-hmm. The only reason he's doing this, says Rimmer, is I'm going up against the government, the same government I swore to serve and protect. And he didn't swear to protect the government. You got that wrong, too.
Yeah.
Defend the Constitution, not the government.
Constitution, yep.
Has anybody thanked Rimmer for his service?
Maybe we should. Maybe we should all just start going to his Facebook page and thanking him for his service.
Making us all like look bad, and doesn't the Air Force, I don't know. I bust on the Air Force a lot, but it's because they're smart. I look at Air Force people like, hey, help me with this math problem. Reevaluate that one.
What I noticed in the article that JJ's been looking at and that he sent us earlier, and in quotations by Brian, it says, my PTS service dog, it's not recognized by the VA. It's recognized by the ADA, but it's not recognized by the VA. So I'm in violation of federal law. But then it goes on to state, emotional support is not a task, he said, citing federal VA regulations. So
right,
he knows the
Rimmer
law.
Rimmer said he needs it for emotional support.
Yeah. Right.
Let me get real personal and tell you, I need Skeeter not for emotional support. He absolutely provides emotional support. I feel better when he's with me. I need Skeeter to warn me when I start getting upset, when the PTSD starts taking over, and I'm about to start throat-punching potatoes. That's real plain and simple. He keeps me from getting to the point where I lose it and
I totally will back you up on that.
And fight or flight takes over. And if it's fight, it's ugly. If it's flight, it's still ugly.
Yep.
I've seen Scout. That was what one of the tasks that Scout was really, really good at. And kept me calm was my anger. And as soon as it's okay, I try not to get angry, because when I get angry, I will black out.
Mm.
And I could get in a lot of trouble. But hearing you say that, it's like I can.
Yeah. And how does he do it? He doesn't do it by just being there, but he actually performs a physical task. Skeeter, the first thing you'll do is sit on my foot. And what do you do when a 100-pound dog sits on your foot? Automatically, what do you do?
I look down.
And pet him, right? And it's been medically proven that when you pet a dog, it releases serotonin and oxytocin.
I like petting other things, too.
Yeah, that's not this show. But, you know, when he sits on my foot, I pet him, and that starts calming me down. It actually has been medically proven that the chemicals released in your brain, the calming chemicals, is done so by petting a dog. So automatically, that's starting to counteract the adrenaline and the dopamine that the PTSD is trying to dump into my brain. This is, I can link to the article. I'm not going to dig it up while we're on the radio show, but I can drop an article in the in my on my page explained that it shows where that happens. This is something that's been proven scientifically over and over. And the VA argues that there's no proof that there's no empirical proof that a service dog helps with PTSD. Yet you can go to medical studies that show that this does happen. I'm not saying a dog doesn't help with PTSD. They absolutely do. I mean, my whole life is based around my PTSD service dog and how he has saved it. Okay, that's not the issue, and that's not the argument. The argument is personal responsibility. The whole discussion about Mr. Rimmer is that instead of taking personal responsibility to fulfill his requirements under the law, he just wants to buck the system and change it entirely and turn it upside down on its head. And there are those of us who have spent years and years working with our dogs, training our dogs, or hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent, being donated to organizations to train dogs. It's just gotten to the point where, yes, something does have to change, but the change he's trying to make is basically to turn it into a free-for-all where you can take anything to the VA or anywhere else. And that's definitely not what the law is intended for. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right with you after these messages.
DV Radio.
MyDVStore.com. Ben will begin with item 69776. Can I get stickers?
Nope.
I got a deal for your country decal. Deal for your country decal. Who here a t-shirt? Anyone with a t-shirt?
Nope.
Let me get a bacon eating card. I'm crazy about some t-shirt.
Nope.
Now I got a mug. DV mugs. I got mugs. Let me hear DV Farm Coin with DV Coins. DV Farm Coins with DV Coins. Gone once. Gone twice. Sold to MyDVStore.com.
The wait is finally over.
Oh my.
Do you want to show that you're a bacon-eating, gun-toting, crazy bastard while drinking on the go? Then head over to MyDVStore.com and grab the new DV Travel Mug today. It's a 16-ounce steel mug with a threaded snap-fit lid. So drink on the run and show you're a true DV with the new Travel Mug today, only at MyDVStore.com.
And welcome back to Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm sorry, Bo. I messed that up. Live radio.
No, you're good.
Anyway, you are listening to Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR. With me is DV6 and Boner Wood of the Dysfunctional Veterans Organization. Now I'm all discombobulated because I jumped in on that spot. I apologize.
No,
gentlemen,
you're good.
Thank you again for joining me.
Glad to be here.
So I want to
get it right, JJ. We are a dysfunctional organization.
Yes, we are. I'm proud to be a part of the DV Nation. Thank you very much.
Right.
So here's what I want to do with this story. Okay. I'm outraged by this guy's actions, and I'm doubly outraged. Like you were saying, Six, you know, if you look at his Facebook page, there are people trying to drop knowledge on him. There are people quoting the law to him. And he's at this point gotten to the point where instead of arguing back, he just says, God bless you. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear the law. He doesn't want to understand the kind of adversity he's creating for other veterans who need their service dogs, who have gone through all the trouble to train their service dogs or go through an organization to get a trained service dog. That's not always an easy thing. In fact, sometimes it's very tough. And he doesn't care. He doesn't.
And they're the ones that look. You don't even have to pay to have the dog trained. You can do it yourself as long as you get them to do the task and meet the standards. You know that. And there's just so many people out there that need these animals. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's just. And it. You know. Yeah. Again, the emotional support animal is just as important, but it does not. You're not protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act with an emotional support animal. It has not been trained to go into public. That's the steps that you take to train a service dog, which is protected by the ADA, is to make sure that the dog can behave itself, be under control in public, that the dog can perform its tasks when needed, not necessarily when commanded. One of the things that I think with PTSD service dogs is absolutely vital to the dog's ability to help you, the disabled veteran, is the bond you create with your dog. And that bond is what enables that dog to know, hey, something's going wrong with dad or mom. I need to intervene. And, you know, that close-knit bond. I mean, you've seen Skeeter and I in six. And you too, Bo. You know that, I mean, we don't do anything without each other. We're every, you know, I mean, that dog is joined to my hip at all times. It may look like he's dead asleep, but he's completely aware of everything that's going on around and where my head's at, you know? And if I'm having trouble, Skeeter responds. One of the cool things about Skeeter is that he picks up on other veterans. And there have been moments, great story, was at the VA, and a veteran sat down near me, and Skeeter looked at him, looked at me, and he kind of gave me this look like, listen, Dad, I've got to go over here and talk to this guy. And I'm looking at him like, Skeeter, you're crazy. And Skeeter's like, no, trust me. Skeeter goes over and sticks his nose in the guy's lap and is like, hey, how you doing? And this guy starts petting him, and he's like, I'm sorry, I did. And I said, it's okay. He told me he wanted to talk to you. And Skeeter and I talk. We have conversations, not in words, but he has his ways of letting me know what he needs or what he wants. And this guy, awesome, you know, guy. Skeeter was paying attention to this guy and just, you know, just loving on this guy for about 10 minutes. And
he doesn't do this to just anybody.
No, he doesn't. And the guy finally looks up at me, and he's got a tear in his eye, and he says, I really needed that today. Thank you. And I was like, don't thank me. It was his idea, you know. But I was able to give the guy a business card, tell him to come to the page, you know, any questions he had about service dogs, I'd do whatever I could to help him. You know, it was a great opportunity. Skeeter's like a walking billboard for PTS dog, you know. He's the PTS dog. And that's called I can't remember the term. It's not willful disobedience. It's like trained disobedience or something like that.
He has a mind of his own. It's like he's obedient. Your dog is just like what I loved about Scout. The mm-hmm. best fucking training dog, best friend I ever had. And he had his own mind.
Yeah. And that's just it. And that's something I keep trying to get people to understand. When you're in the middle of PTSD overwhelming you, and you're about to rage or you're about to run, you're not of the mindset to give your dog a command to come help you. The dog has to be able to pick up on what's going on in your head and start helping you to remind you that it's there to help you. And it's until you see a PTSD service dog in action, you don't understand what I'm saying. You know, it's a hard thing to describe, but because Skeeter and I have been together for 7 years, more than 7 years now, Skeeter knows me better than I do. He can smell the adrenaline when it starts dumping into my system, you know, and he will preemptively respond. He'll let me know, hey, you're spinning up. It's time to focus on me rather than whatever's going on. You know, the idiot children running around screeching at the top of their heads, that drives me nuts, really sets me on edge. Skeeter will come right to me, get in my business, start pushing me away from the kids, a trained task. I trained him to remove me from situations that are stressing me. You know, because at that point, I'm so annoyed, I'm starting to get aggressive. Well, I don't need to be barking at kids, right? the dog knows its handler well enough, is well trained, knows, hey, when dad starts going, you know, when I start sensing this in him, I have to do this to change his focus. And it's something that bond you build with your dog is absolutely vital to being a successful dog handler team. You've got to be on that level.
It starts as a puppy, and you got to take him into surgery when he's like 2
days. Yeah. Listen, I don't disagree that starting with a puppy is absolutely best, but there is a point in time in the dog's development where it begins to mature and begins to be able to handle learning about being in public. And again, this is my personal experience. Every dog is different. Dogs are individuals just like people are. With Skeeter, I waited until he was 16 months old before I started, public access training with him. And the reason why is because Skeeter's an Alaskan Malamute. And this was my personal choice. This is the way I trained my dog. Doesn't necessarily mean this is the way everybody has to do it. I'm not saying that. But with Skeeter, for me, I I let him be a Malamute. We were breeding Malamutes. We had a pack. We had 12 dogs. He lived in the house with his mother, his sister, and his grandmother. And he learned how to be a dog. And he got all that dogginess out of him. By the time he was 16 months old, he was settled down. He was a lot more focused. Then we started training public access. Then we went and took the Canine Good Citizenship class at Petco. That's the full extent of Skeeter's quote unquote formal training. He does have a certificate that says he graduated. Not only did he earn his basic Canine Good Citizenship, but in the 6 weeks we were in that class, he also earned his advanced. That's just how smart my dog is. And the trainer, who also happened to be a behaviorist, he said, your dog is, he said, I don't know what you've been doing with this dog, but he's head and shoulders above every other dog in this class. And I said, well, I've just taught him how to be a good dog, you know. And that guy, the behaviorist, actually was who encouraged me. He taught me something new, which was the positive only reinforcement. And he gave me the knowledge and the courage to start task training Skeeter so that he would fulfill the requirements of the ADA. And by the time he was two, Skeeter was calm, focused, performing tasks reliably. He'd been housebroken for more than a year and a half at that point in time. But he fulfilled the requirements of the ADA. That took 2 years. But then every outing, every time you take your service dog out in public is an opportunity to train. Training never ends. Dogs grow. Dogs change. Things scare them. They start to react to something, and you've got to work them through that. Just like people, dogs grow and change. You've always got to be willing to see what's going on with your dog, and if it needs to be changed, train through it. There's a reason the ADA doesn't require certification. It's because if you're really doing it right, you can never say the dog is fully trained. There's always something new to learn. And you can't certify that. You can certify that you've worked with the dog. I can say, you know, I can go online and print a certificate that says this dog is fully trained, but it's a lie. It's a lie because the training never ends. I mean, there's always something new, something different, especially when you're taking a dog into public places like restaurants, grocery stores, stadiums. Skeeter and I we've been on a learning curve lately. Thanks to the wonderful folks at VetTix, we've been able to go to events. We've gone to two indoor arena football games. We'll talk about a learning curve. First of all, stadium seating stands for an indoor football arena, there is no room. You have to figure out how to put a dog Skeeter size. There's no space. He can't lay on my feet because the legs of the chairs are so close to the chairs in front of him, there's no room for him. So we had to figure out where to position him, where I could sit so that he had room. You know, things like that. There's always something new. And then there was the fact that there were people running around and crashing violently on the field. Well, part of his job, one of his tasks, is to warn me when violent things are happening. How does he warn me of that? You know, well, he gives a bark, a single bark. Perfectly reasonable within the ADA. It says, you know, one bark to alert you is fine. It says if the dog starts barking repeatedly. Well, I had to teach him, hey, they're supposed to do that here. It's okay. That's what they're there for. You know, every time you go out, it's a new opportunity. With Scout or even with Storm, you know, what's your experience in that?
Well, I don't know if anybody else has ever gone through this, but after losing Scout, I had no intentions of getting another dog. And the puppy, you know why we got the puppy, because the storms that hit down there in Texas, the hurricanes and stuff. And I really did like this puppy. But as I started trying to train him, I had no patience. It was just zero. I didn't give myself enough time, I think, to mourn. Yeah, it's Scout. And I kept comparing that puppy. And I still do. Mm-hmm. I'm comparing Storm to Scout. And I got to remember that what you just said, too, Scout was, to the day he died, he was, you know, still getting trained. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was fucking squared away. It wasn't just a dog. He was my partner.
Yeah.
You can't do that. He's just, you and everybody else keep reminding me that, like, the dog is just still a puppy. And mm-hmm. I'm letting him be a puppy.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a lot of work. And my wife, Google, she's taken up the point on that, and she's doing really good. I mean, I just have no patience. Mm-hmm. And I can't, you can't look at your old service dog and compare. It's not fair.
Absolutely not. And I really feel for you. Like I said, Skeeter's 7. He'll be 8 in January. So he's almost 7.5 now. And Malamute's 10 is a good life expectancy. Anything after 7 is great. 10 is usually when they say an Alaskan Malamute, that's their maximum life. I've heard tell of dogs that are 14 or 15 Malamutes, but that's the rarity, not the rule. Yeah. So I'm myself facing the mortality of my service dog and planning. And I think for me, one of the mindsets that I've got about this is that my back's not getting any better as I get older. And although Skeeter is strong enough to perform some of the mobility tasks I need, he's not tall enough. And so my next service dog, although it will have PTSD-related tasks, is probably going to be focused more on mobility because of my deteriorating back. And I think that's one way I'm kind of planning to define the difference between the two dogs. And I think you're absolutely right. It's really difficult to you haven't had time to mourn Scout even at this point.
So are you gonna my plan was when I got the farm to get another puppy here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew Scout was coming up on 10 or was 10 going on 11. Mm-hmm. And I knew he wouldn't last forever. And I've watched so many people lose their dogs and then swear, I'm not getting another one. And so I wanted another one I wanted to get another puppy. And we tried to get a puppy for 2 years. We did.
Mm-hmm.
I think, cause a lot of people, I tell them, I says, you can't, there's a lot of dogs out there that need you. Don't swear it off. Cause yes, your old dog will never replace, the new dog will never replace your old dog. I get mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But it is easier. I hope you do take your own advice and mine, to get one now, to start training.
And I'm planning, I'm actively looking for Skeeter's successor, not his replacement. But his successor, the dog who will step in and, take over when he's no longer able to work. And, it's really it's kind of neat. Skeeter really loves Nevermore. And she's already said, when it's time for you to start working with a new dog exclusively, he'll just work for me. And he listens to her, which is Skeeter doesn't listen to anybody except me, but he'll listen to her. So he will have the opportunity not to be forced to stop working because I'll tell you, when we don't go work for a couple of days, I get the stink eye. He looks at me like, when are we going? We got to go work. He loves to work. He loves to do his job. And that doesn't mean he doesn't work at home. He absolutely does. But he loves public access. He loves to go out and see things and do things. So I get the stink eye if we don't go to the store at least twice a week, He'll sit and grump and just stare at me like, we gotta go work.
And that helps you in a way too, get your ass out.
It's exactly.
Force you into uncomfortable situations.
Yeah. But that's the part where the veteran who uses a PTSD service dog regains independence. Yeah. You have to take your dog. First of all, you have to start walking your dog when it's a puppy. Teaching it to potty outside. You have to get up and get out. When I first had Skeeter, I was still recovering from spine surgery. And at that point in time, the only reason I got up in the morning was to take my pills. And he gave me a reason I started getting up to take care of my puppy instead of take my pills. And my whole mindset started to change. So, looking back again to Mr. Rimmer, you know what? Puppies are absolutely, they're great. It's a great emotional support. It gives you a new focus. It gives you some reason to get up in the morning. Absolutely, but it's still a puppy. It's still got a long way to go before you can call it a service dog. And that brings up something, like I said earlier in the show, I've had this discussion with my friend Bart Sherwood, who was on the show last week. He's the founder and director of Tadsaw, about what defines a service dog. And first and foremost, the first thing in the first paragraph of the ADA's own explanation of their service dog portion of the law is that a disabled handler has to have a dog. It can't be some guy training the dog for somebody. That's not a service dog until it's with its disabled handler. I fully agree with that. The ADA protects disabled persons' right to handle a service dog. The thing is that Bart's argument is if you're disabled and you have a dog, it's now a service dog. It may be a very poorly trained service dog, but it's a service dog at that point. I don't agree with him on that. I don't at all. I think you still, the ADA is very clear that the dog must meet these requirements, trained tasks, under the handler's control at all time, and housebroken. If the dog does not meet those requirements, it's not a service dog. It hasn't achieved the definition. But the number one requirement, so I guess I would say there are four requirements, is that the handler must be disabled. And that gets into something that both he and I are frustrated with, is that you have these training organizations where these dogs go with puppy raisers and then trainers, and they get all this training, but these people who are doing so are not disabled, but are using the ADA to be able to do so. Well, it's a service dog in training. Well, the ADA does not protect service dogs in training.
Right.
Only service dogs. Why? And again, this goes back to the ADA being perfectly written, because it protects the rights of the disabled person, not the dog, not somebody training the dog, but the disabled handler. And I think that's an important distinction. And then like we've been talking about, there's this the personal responsibility. You are responsible to make sure that your service dog meets the requirements of the ADA. If you want to go above and beyond that, by all means, train it to do 37 tasks and dance and jump, you know, whatever. But there are minimum requirements by law. And this puppy does not meet those requirements. And so screaming, well, it's a service dog, is not the way to go. How about taking responsibility?
Yeah, for making a dumbass decision to put that in there. No, he's being selfish. I'll just say it, you know?
Well, and honestly, especially where the VA is concerned, you know who's created problems for people who handle service dogs at the VA? We have. Veterans have. Veterans who've decided to take advantage of misunderstandings or lack of understandings. Veterans who didn't know any better. You know, we've created our own problem. And I think that it's not up to the VA to police us. I think it's part of my responsibility as a veteran who handles a service dog is to educate my brothers and sisters about the law, about what a service dog is and what a service dog does. I mean, that's why PTS Dog exists. It's our own responsibility to take care of our own community because nobody else is doing it for us. And that's why I appreciate organizations like Dysfunctional Veterans, Disgruntled Vets, 22 Until None, Battle and Distress. You know what? It's veterans out there taking care of our own. And that includes making sure that we all have the knowledge that we need in order to do this correctly and within the requirements of the law. And I think it's very important. Whatever your field, whatever, you know, you're addressing substance abuse and homeless veterans. And I've seen you work. I've seen your focus. I've seen the DV farm. I've seen the videos and talked to you about it. And you do it. You're right there. And I'm sure there are things that you know you can't do in order to help these guys, and there are things that you won't do. Same as with me. There are things I can't do. There are things I can do. And I think it's really important as a community of veterans, whether it's on Facebook or at the VFW or walking down the hall in the VA, that we hold each other up. And if what did you do with a messed up private in the Army?
It depends on How messed up he was and what exactly we're talking about.
You took the appropriate steps to correct him, right?
Right, yes. And we educated him.
Yeah, we educated him. Now,
that's new army. This guy here, yeah. We can take the
Yeah, he might need to do some front-leaning rest until my arms get tired. Oh, yes. Well, it's about time to start wrapping it up. Bo, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I can't add anything more to what we've talked about tonight other than what you guys have, you know, already hit on and what we've said earlier. But if anybody that's listening tonight is not doing much tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, right here on DVRadio.net, we're going to have a special Memorial Day Barracks Talk, and I believe yourself, JJ is going to be there, as well as myself, Six, and a few others from the DB Radio Network.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. I will be eating barbecue, just so you know. yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm getting separate computers prepared and things like that, because Nevermore will be there as well, at least for part of the show, or most of the show, actually.
Right.
What time is that at?
It's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2000 for those of us that actually know that we have 24 hours in a day. But we have dedications, we have some music requests, so it should be a fun and memorable and enjoyable time. We're going to talk about what Memorial Day is, of course, but we're not going to try and make it too depressing because, you know, it is a depressing time anyway, but it is a time to remember and to have fun as well.
Yeah. All righty.
Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you joining. I really do. Thank you all for joining us and listening. And for those of you who are listening to this in podcast, this was very rare. We did a live service dog show. I hope to be able to do it again in the future. But we'll be back to our regular pre-recorded show next week. I've got a very special guest. Who I know personally, who I actually helped introduce to his service dog, and he started a organization to help train service dogs for veterans. And I'm looking forward to this show that's coming up next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. You have been listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR. Thank you very much for joining us.